All of them?
Most of them.
No, no, that's wrong.
So that's what
you have not read your Bible correctly then.
That's what I said.
Just two. Bible. Just two are those. One of them denounced him there at that night, and the other one also ran away. So out of the 12 disciples, the two did so.
How come the rest?
Because they were untrue.
Huh? The rest of them were there. How come if they were so firmly in love with their Lord?
Because their Lord taught them. I tell you, because they were truly in love with their Lord, and their Lord, what the Lord said to them, they acted upon it. And what was told them was this, that if somebody slaps you on the right cheek, you should offer your left one. And do not meet force with force. So that shows they are not trying to defend and rise in rebellion against the forces of that state. That tells us that they were true and honest. Otherwise they loved him. Because it is shown from history of early Christianity that they were thrown before the wild beasts and torn to pieces. Yet they did not renounce Christianity. They were burnt alive. But so, those who were nearer, they were truer than those who came after.
And when he threw it against the beast, it came after the crucifixion, not before that.
I'm talking of after crucifixion, yes? I'm talking of after crucifixion. I'm telling you that the same people, the people who followed them were taught the way of life by those who were the disciples. Where did they learn this sacrifice and all this? From the disciples themselves. After the crucifixion, they spread out and spread the message all along, wherever they went, like the dervishes. And they did not fear anybody. What is puzzling you is the fact that at the time when the government agents and the Jews came to arrest Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, or maybe later when they were trying to remove him to the place of crucifixion, why did these followers, if they truly loved him, not offer any resistance? That is perhaps the essence of your question. So I'm telling you, because they truly loved him. For that very reason they didn't offer resistance, because Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, had taught them not to resist force by force. So how could they be true to him and true lovers if they had defied him at that time of crisis? And this is why he himself did not offer any resistance.
So in that sense, why the change between Moses and Jesus? Because Jesus only came. Why the difference between Moses teaching and...
Between Moses, peace be upon him, and between Jesus, peace be upon him, right, yes. So what do you want to know?
I mean, Hazrat Moses,
Allah had permitted him to defend himself with sword, the onslaught of the enemy by sword. So Allah sends two types of prophets. It always happens. Some, and mostly those who are lawbringers, they are permitted by Allah to fend themselves against coercion by using the same weapons as are used against them. And this is perfectly justified. Yet despite being weak and humble, as compared to the enemies, they become victorious and the powerful enemies are laid low. So that is also a sign of Allah. So then Allah sent, some people begin to say that it was the sword which won and not the message. This was the allegation raised against Hazrat Moses, who was also a peace be upon him, a lawbringer prophet, and against Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, who was also a lawbringer prophet. And they are very similar, as it is said in the Bible, that I will raise from among your brothers a prophet like unto thee. So we find so many things of similarity between Moses, peace be upon him, and Hazrat Muhammad, peace be upon him. So he also was attempted to be suppressed by sword. And after a while, when Allah permitted him to defend himself with the same weapons, even at that time, he was not powerful. This is what is misunderstood by some people, that he was waiting for himself to become powerful. It is positively proved that when he was permitted to defend himself, he was still very weak, and yet he became victorious against heavy odds. So that is one type of prophets. The other type is when the people begin to say that, all right, this was the sword which one, like many early Christian scholars, they have changed their trend now, but previously they used to attack Islam and say it was the religion of the sword. And unfortunately, this is now being held by people like Mr. Khomeini, Imam Khomeini and so on. But as we read the Holy Quran and as we know the Islamic history, we know this is totally false. But anyway, people begin to say that that particular religion, be it Islam or Judaism, spread with the help of sword and not with the strength of the message. So in the last phase, on the same religions, appear prophets like Jesus, peace be upon him. And this is Messiahhood as distinct from the ordinary phenomena of prophethood. The Messiah offers his body, his property, his life, his honor to those who want to take and usurp these things by force. And the Messiah is not permitted to raise his hand against the offending or striking hand. Yet the result is not only the same, but in some ways it is more dramatic. Their victory becomes appears impossible if you feed the facts to the computer. Yet they become victorious in a larger manner, and they become to stay longer in victory and in ultimate success. So this is, as we believe, is exactly what is going to happen in the second advent of Messiah. We believe as Ahmadis. This is exactly happening now. We are passing through the same phase. We are being treated exactly as the early Christians were being treated. The founder of Ahmadiyya community is rejected for exactly the same reason as the early Christ, peace be upon him, was rejected. He came of a humble origin. He was born under a great foreign empire, like the founder of the Ahmadiyya community. And he was looked down upon by his very own people, the Jews. The same thing happened to the founder of the Ahmadiyya community. And he also told that do not strike back when you are stricken. This time, it is the message alone which is going to win. And it is love which is going to win over hatred. So we are following his advice exactly in the same manner. And the result is that within the last 90 or some years, the one man who was alone and he was being mocked at has become 10 million. Despite that, the fact that the opposition is so severe sometimes, that the governments take part in, as it is happening in Pakistan, the governments take part in the suppression, and openly and nakedly and shamelessly. And the whole machinery of the government is set against them, and they are permitted to be murdered, and nobody listens to their wails and cries. And when they go through the courts, justice is not met. Despite everything, they continue to spread. This is exactly what happened in the early part of Christianity. So as we see, these are the true signs. The rest are just stories. The true sign is the continuous living sacrifice of a people for the cause of a noble cause. No better sign of truth can be offered to any people than this practical sacrifice for a long period.